Hey there, Gut Thrivers. Welcome, welcome to our second quarterly webinar of 2021. I'm Nicole Duby, lead clinician at The Whole Journey, and I'm joined by your favorite, Dr. Jack Tipps. How are you doing, Jack?
Good morning. Hello. Doing great.
Great. So we're so excited to have you guys here. And as always, you know, we like to start our webinars by you telling us where you're joining us from and telling us what's new and good with you. So why don't you go ahead and fill that in the chat. And in the meantime, Jack, why don't you tell us a little bit about, we were talking before we came on live about the connection between the gut microbiome and the skin microbiome. And, you know, we get a lot of questions in from our gut thrivers who experience acne or eczema or rashes as they're going through the program. And what do you think about that?
Well, there is a tight interconnectedness, and it works multiple ways. So the thing that science is showing us is that the different microbiomes, and a person has many, with the Gut Thrive, we're looking at basically Krista's program. She does look at the literally the mouth and the throat and the esophagus and the stomach and the duodenum and the small intestines and the colon, the whole tract. And in each area, there's a little bit different microbiota that colonize. For people in plan S, we've learned that the immune system should not allow very much growth there, that the probiotics are really wanted further down in the colon, but there are some that work with the body in the small intestine. So nature has its design. Another area might be connecting the gut microbiome, because there's so many trillions of bacteria, their influence and communications, let's say with the ears, with the nose, with the eyes, and so forth. The lungs, all of these areas throughout the body have different microbiomes, but there is a close relationship with the skin, because the skin is also a very large microbiome. And the skin and the gut have some very similar responsibilities. They both are involved in protecting a person from the external environment. So we start talking about a human being being a donut. That's not homage to a favorite food, probably second to pizza, but it is homage to the fact that our gut is taking the external environment in, and our bodies have to protect the inner sanctum from invading species. So the GI tract is also exposed to the external environment, like the skin is a barrier. And so they have some, they share some species. But here's the thing, when one area, like let's say the gut, gets upset, a person could have hive reactions with the skin. We eat something and the skin breaks out. And this can really get crazy if someone goes into an anaphylactic reaction. They eat a strawberry or a peanut, and all of a sudden they can't breathe. Their throat swells, and then they might have hives and so forth. So these two communicate. And one of the vehicles of communication is an inflammatory molecule called the lipopolysaccharide. So when in the Gut Thrive, if we're taking an herb, or oregano oil is a great example, and that oregano oil is a bactericide, it is going to knock off some bad species. It doesn't knock off the good species right at first. I mean, you really have to do a lot, because the human body is adapted, as are the microbiome, to oregano. We eat it in salads, we eat it in the spaghetti sauce and on the pizzas, and our microbiome has adapted to oregano. But the bad guys have not adapted, because we might think of it this way. If the bad guys were adapted and won, the person would die. And then the species would never learn to adapt much, because there's no host. And so the bad guys are susceptible to these plant compounds, and they are It's the great balance of nature. Our bodies have adapted to certain foods and molecules, and we have to have autonomy from the pathogens that would just as soon kill us if they could run around and break the barrier. Yeah. And this bacteria goes, oh dear, I've got to warn all of my buddies, the Staphylococcus aureus, and others, some of the nasty streps. It says, I've got to warn them that I'm under attack. And as they expire, they release a lipopolysaccharide. And now you have a person who might have some leaky gut. That molecule goes into the bloodstream, alerts the immune system. The immune system reacts and the skin starts to hive or get an eczema or an itch because this learn, right? This is what's called in science quorum sensing. It's powerful communication network. All the good in the gut, the guys out in the on the skin are going, I don't like this one bit. I am going to adapt. And so they start producing a little lipopolysaccharide. They start to mutate. The skin and the immune system gets alerted. Oh, we've got a uprising out here on the elbow, and the immune system comes in with hyperkeratosis. The skin cells multiply and go red. And then in the marvels of science, we can take this simple process, this big overview that really could, and we break it down into, oh, does the person have acne or psoriasis or eczema or tinea versicolor or seborrheic dermatitis, rosacea, vitiligo, even wart proliferation, which is viral, blepharitis, and even susceptible to things like mosquitoes, right. Which nobody wants to be the susceptible person in the summertime. So anyway, this is the connection. So if a person is doing gut thrive and now they go, oh no, I'm starting to itch. It's often a good opportunity to take care of the skin, take care of the gut. Maybe you back off on the dose and give your gut and give the system a little more time, or other person might choose to blast through. And they increase the dose. So there's always these little nuances that you can play with your gut instinct. But you say, well, no, I don't want the rash. I'm going out to dinner and having tea with the queen today, so I don't want a rash. You just back off and take care of the skin. Now on the market, there's actually skin microbiome species.
Yeah, I've seen that.
Yeah, put in oil. And a person can treat. But the thing about it is these rashes go away. And this is why a lot of people will be reporting, thanks to Krista and the whole journey, they report that they haven't had eczema since they finished phase 7 or something, you know, that week 7 or whatever, when they finish the program, that they actually work through and they get a better skin microbiome. Their immune system can lower the threshold of inflammation as the gut gets better. But I wanted people to understand a little bit of this seesaw between the species, and they communicate other ways than just inflammatory molecules. They seem to be in a simpatico cahoots. They release other messenger molecules. The brain and the immune system are tuned and attuned to all the input from these microbiomes, because the skin is so important for a lot of the basic things that preoccupy the human being's ability to adapt and survive. And survival means perpetuation of DNA, which is procreation. So the skin microbiome is releasing pheromones, they're releasing molecules that a potential love interest would receive, and so the rest is history. as we first, you might say, before we fall in love, we have to get permission from our skin microbiome that's very much in tune with the gut microbiome. So that might have you reconsider things like perfume. And if you are exuding a proper, like we have little fireflies in Texas and they each have a little coated blink. If the glyphosate doesn't kill them all, they blink differently and they're communicating their desire to find a mate. And our bacteria on our skin are putting out signals that someone else's immune system would read. And that helps avoid potentially weak immunity, that an offspring that would not be fit to survive. It also seems to put the dampening on the concept of incest and so forth, that the microbiomes genetically are too close, mm-hmm. and there would be a big flaw in the ability to survive. So anyway, there's a little data dump for you on the fact that the skin can be reactive. And this is why Krista, and I know Nicole, you're a big fan of the salt and soda bath, which can be table salt, but even more preferably Epsom salts, 2 pounds of Epsom salts, 2 pounds of baking soda, nice warm bath, and luxuriate and relax and let the skin detox, sweat into the water a little bit and detox. And a lot of times that takes care of the skin microbiome and maybe a little healthy, natural coconut oil or olive oil or something to moisturize. And yep. and a person works through the skin having its alarms. And of course, as the person perseveres with the Gut Thrive program, there's also the soothers. There's the replacement messages from the food fibers and the probiotics and those soil-based organisms. And all the good message keeps coming and the skin will change. And all of a sudden, maybe the person doesn't have as much of like Staphylococcus aureus on their skin and Pseudomonas or things that might be a little more alarming. And so your health is improving yeah. from the core. The skin can get better. And people, so many people are reporting that, oh, their rosacea's gone away. Yeah. And that's not supposed to happen, right? Or their psoriasis is much better. Their eczema's gone. And this is where we find that the science of epigenetics promises us if the body can turn it on, there's a way to turn it off. And so it's time to put to rest all of this litany that we get from certain experts that we pay that says, oh, there's no known cause and there's no known cure, but I can suppress the symptom. That's such a wimpy approach. Oh, yeah. When the body holds for itself true healing and the ability to regulate itself and get back to its genetic blueprint and experience the most optimal health. So, end of discourse, and keep an eye out, you know, watch your skin during the program and take care of the little things and lend some assistance and you'll have smooth sailing. Yeah. Nicole, how many people would you say out of 100 might have a skin issue that they report in? I'm curious from a statistical point.
Like it's around maybe a quarter, like 25.
Really that much. Yeah. I would have picked
in
a lower.
Different ways. It's like some people, like you said, have an eczema issue or they have psoriasis or they have cystic acne, or it's a reaction like you were speaking to a particular supplement or food and it comes out in a hive. So it varies, but yeah, we get a fair amount of tickets about skin issues.
Well, it's just part of the process. It's not scary. It goes away.
It does.
And you're really reaching in and getting a little bit deeper healing because in the research that I do, I have get so much. I've already thoroughly misplaced it. But it was a young scientist who found that if there was a certain species of candida in the vaginal microbiome, a certain streptococcus on the skin and a certain pathogen in the gut, that the input to the brain of those three pathogens elicited in a exceedingly larger number of people the diagnosis of psoriasis. Mm-hmm. And then there was another similar study on rheumatoid arthritis. So what we're seeing with this is that if you get that perfect storm of microbes, whether it's opportunity, exposure, whether it's flaws of genetics, and then you manifest something like that, it's just really raising inflammation and the immune system epigenetically trying to protect you. And unfortunately, even something that's a tough one like psoriasis is our immune systems trying to protect us, because even a person with psoriasis outbreaks can reproduce the species. So life is all about perpetuation of the of DNA. And we have to understand nature's criterion is different than ours, because ours, we want young, flawless skin like we all have, Nicole. Yeah. And we want this beautiful, radiant skin to be reflective that we have a beautiful, radiant heart and a beautiful, radiant guts. And but these things gang up like that, and that's the power of these microbes. Absolutely. And so each person is just making it a little happier and a little healthier in these species.
I think that a lot of times people panic when you start to have those skin symptoms. And like you were mentioning, I think it's just about troubleshooting it and going at the pace that works best for you and your body. So a lot of times, like Jack said, it's just using the salt and soda bath. It's using some infrared sauna if you have that available to you. It's cutting your supplement dosages down, and that's perfectly okay to do. I think sometimes we think more is better. And for some people, it's not. You can still get that therapeutic benefit for taking less supplements and taking a lower dose and detoxing at a rate that's comfortable for your body and meeting your body where it's at. And so don't be afraid to do that as you're going through the program also.
You know, and Krista talks on this subject too, because she's trying to really get people to clean up their acts.
Yeah. But
when we look at our local environment, what are we putting on? We're using deodorants that have bactericides. So now we're constantly killing species, and the only species that can survive are more virulent, and people get chemicals, or they're using, a big one a while back was like ammonia glass cleaner, and they breathe it and they're getting it all over their bodies. And suddenly we do start having more respect for what comes in contact with our skin. We might want to clean up our laundry detergent.
Oh, absolutely.
We might want to clean up our clothes, meaning do we really want those nanoparticles embedded in our fabrics, or do we want to try to buy something that, particularly for things close to our skin, why not hit the organic?
Absolutely.
Whiteys and so forth, where when we put something on our skin for a long time, that it's just not carrying, like in the cotton, they use the glyphosate Roundup pesticide that was killing so many people and killing the cattle in India. And we start cleaning up our clothes and our shampoo. And one of the big subjects for women is called toxic beauty. And that's just horrendous amount of chemicals and damaging chemicals that are in cosmetics. And now a woman might shift to a cosmetic line, and men are being marketed now with a lot of skin and cosmetics. So it's very important to start learning the natural health lifestyle.
Absolutely. And you can, it doesn't mean, all right, everybody go out right now and throw out all your stuff. It just means when you run out of deodorant, all right, next time you pick an organic natural one that doesn't have aluminum in it, or when you run out of lipstick, you pick one from a clean beauty brand that, won't have those parabens and other toxins in it. So you can do it gradually over time because it might not be financially feasible for you to do that. But there are little steps, just take it in little steps and over time you'll make those gains, I think. So
it's amazing to me how everything is less than it should be. We could just jump right in and say, get rid of the mouthwash, you're killing your oral microbiome. Pressure. So, yeah. You know, you need your oral microbiome, the toothpaste. And then we find out that Colgate put this horrendous non-biodegradable 8 half a tube of toothpaste called Colgate Total or something.
Yeah.
The child would die. That's what people were putting in their mouths. So science loves to promulgate fear in people and then have the answer. And don't we see that today with Absolutely. A lot of microbial fear being promulgated and we're not being told all the answers of what a person could do. And we're all settling as a society for second best because there's better statistics to handle our fears. Mm-hmm. And so that's the old recipe. And you can break free and be strong.
Absolutely.
By building your core adaptability. And it's always about you and getting along with Mother Nature and the environment. Mm-hmm. All right.
All right. Let's get into questions. That's what you guys are here for. And, you know, Jack and I over the last 6 months have been working with Krista on our Gut Thrive practitioner training program. And we've taken an initial group of practitioners through the program and it's been super exciting. And as part of that training, they've had to do a lot of case studies with actual people and take them through the program. So we've gotten to see over the last few months a lot of what people are experiencing as they go through the program. And so what we want to do for you today is to help you troubleshoot as you go through the program and help you understand why you're doing what you're doing and help you get through it with the best results. So feel free to put your questions in the chat. And Jack, I will read them out to you. All right, so let's see. Oh, Vicky slept over 8.5 hours last night with 2.5 REM and 1. Oh, that's great, Vicky. All right. Lori has a question about detoxing her body from mold. She's on week 8 of Gut Thrive, and she said she needs to use the sludgy cocktail and MediClay for 2 months to get rid of the mold in her body. Does she follow the other steps in weeks 8 and 9 while she does that? Jack, what do you think about that?
Questions, we're going to make sure that you and I are agreed because we could go into small differences in dialogue, but I'm going to give a big thumbs up. Yes.
Yeah.
That if you're doing the sludgy and you move it to maybe 30 minutes before bed and kind of give it its own time and space or a great time in the afternoon when it's away from food and supplements and things, give yourself every opportunity to get rid of mold. You don't want any left in the GI tract, and you want to give your cells metabolically time to recalibrate and not be on altered metabolisms because of past mold exposure. You may encounter the same mold in your air, like if it's white aspergillus or something, and certainly if it's the Staphylobacterus, you just have to be miles away and burn everything in your path. But just for general mold, you can do this sludgy. Just give it its own time and space. And if you're feeling like it might be too strong of a chelator for you, why not in the morning pick up some nice minerals supplement?
Yeah,
you could do fulvic minerals, humates, plant organic minerals. There's some real thin watery ones that you can just put in a smoothie. And so you boost in one end and then let that sludgy take care of you at another time of day. You like that, Nicole?
I do like that. And I would definitely add in some minerals because, you know, if you're on it for long term, it can deplete the sludgy cocktail can deplete your minerals. So I would definitely add in, like Jack said, the fulvic minerals are great. So I would put that in your water or in your smoothie. So I think that's a great plan. And let's see, Jackie, should I continue to go through the program if I'm behind? Absolutely. And there really is no behind. This program can be customized to you. You can go at your own pace. I mean, Jack and I, you know, as we've taken different case studies through this program, you can extend different phases if you need to. You might need to stay in step one a little bit longer if you come into the program with a higher level of toxicity. You might need to extend your pathogen purge by a few days if you're battling something specific. So yeah, absolutely. You can take it at your own pace and definitely troubleshoot as you go through. So yeah, absolutely. Do you have anything, Jack, you want to say about that?
Well, I'm just, I think you did a beautiful job, and I was just reading along, and then I hit Judy's, and I had to, I'm teasing you, Judy. I'm reading. Oh. I love to read Vicky when she says love it, and then we're going to have to put some attention on Judy's. But yeah. Holly has something about vitiligo, and Holly, our previous soapbox discussion is right for you. Vitiligo in the research, as you know, is autoimmune, but the question is, what is stimulating the autoimmune response against the melanin of the skin cell? And when you reduce the inflammation in the gut and you reorganize the microbiome of the skin, you're laying the foundation for eventually your immune system to go, okay, I don't have to be so uppity, and it relaxes. There is some research now about vitiligo and fungal forms under the skin. It's not the only cause, but I think it's significant that in doing the gut thrive, you're going to be knocking off fungal forms with the herbs. And my tendency would be to extend the pathogen purge, be very thorough. If you're not on plan F for fungus, why not pick up one of Krista's supplements that are from plan F, an antifungal, or increase the oregano oil or something, and really address that link, that there may be a 20-30% chance that is causative for you. Otherwise, it's your genetics deciding that there's something in your system that resembles a component of your melanin, the skin pigment. And as the immune system is attacking that, it's bleaching out part of the skin. And I have seen vitiligo go away and not come back. So I definitely am one that refutes no known cause, no known cure for that. So you have every reason to pursue this program. And keep in mind too, now there is a skin microbiome oil on the market where you literally can go in around the vitiligo area and just re-inoculate your skin while you're working with your gut. And then, as Nicole knows, it's hard to talk to me without a mention of the beauties of classical homeopathy.
Oh, love homeopathy.
And that, from Dr. Francisco Isiaga, he published algorithms that help clinicians find the right remedy for vitiligo. So he is a medical doctor, retired now in Argentina, who had many, many cured cases and published his data. And so it's just sad that people buy into no known cause, no known cure, and then they want to silence the mouths that say, you know, we trust the body. And if you didn't have it at birth and you developed it, then you can turn those wheels back. And that's the promise of epigenetics. So I hope that's uplifting to you, and that you see great progress.
Yeah, Holly, I put a link up top to Candace at Forte. I would suggest you add that into your protocol. And it's a combination botanical formula, and you can get it right here at this link. All right, let's see. I think next is Judy. Judy's looking for some insight and suggestions. She began Gut Thrive on January 3rd. She did the program because she had a GI map test done 2 years ago that showed that she had H. pylori, blasto, and Entamoeba coli. She was asymptomatic, so the only issue that she was having was an inexplicable weight gain and near impossibility to weight loss. She went through 2 detoxes and cleanses and really cleaned up her diet since those results. She was having 2 to 4 bowel movements daily. She said that smelled like a wonderful kind of green barnyard with no smearing. She stopped having gas altogether. She never had a lot of gas, but it went away completely. Her skin was glowing. People were commenting on that, but she was still slowly gaining weight and couldn't keep the weight loss off that occurred during the detoxes and cleanses. So she decided to go through Gut Thrive before retesting. Since doing Gut Thrive, she's down to having 1 bowel movement a day, once in a while, twice a day. They smell bad. She has bad gas. She is, let's see, I'm looking for the rest of her message. Oh, she's gaining weight back. She lost 9 pounds and gained almost all of it back. She's still on the probiotics because the HCL challenge didn't work for her at all. She lives a non-toxic lifestyle and she's still eating clean. She hates eating clean and she's tired of having that restrictive diet of 80-20. It makes her gain weight even faster. What are your thoughts on that situation, Jack?
Okay. I'm seeing a little bit of a kaleidoscope in that we have a lot of really pretty pieces trying to come into focus, but yet we're not making the perfect image. We're not getting the perfect outcome. We've got some great pieces, but we're not, you might say we're not playing the cards quite right to win here. The first understanding is that the weight issue may or may not be caused at the gut level. The gut may be a contributor.
Hormone. Yeah, it could be a hormone issue for her.
And one of the things we want to look at with the focus on the gut is the balance. And I believe this is in the GI map. It's not one of my favorite tests. As Nicole knows, I'm a little bit more of a fan of the comprehensive stool test where I can get more inflammatory markers and some other spreads on that. But we want to look at the Firmicutes. I know in the GI map, they'll give you your Firmicutes and your Bacteroides. And if you have a lot of the Firmicutes, F-E-R-M-I-C-U-T-E-S, these guys are sugar producers. And so you can literally eat a lettuce leaf and it's going to make enough sugar into put into your system is a Long Island iced tea or something. So, if, you know, it's like you can just smell a donut and gain weight if you have that imbalance. So the thing about your report is it's, you know, it's a couple of years old now and you're running on older data because you've been through Gut Thrive and you really need to get another update. You might want to do a comprehensive stool test, or if you want to do apples to apples, get a GI map. And then you're able to look for pathogens. You're able to look at the balance of Firmicutes to Bacteroides. But if you have that imbalance, it can be driving the weight. And then when you lose weight, your body is still thinking, you know, you've heard of the word yo-yo. Your body metabolically is still thinking that old weight is my proper weight. I'm in a famine. And as soon as I can get even an 80-20, I'm going to take all of that. The Firmicutes are there to make the drive the sugar. And so you want to look also at any other metabolic syndrome. You know, how's your blood pressure? How's your cholesterol? And how's the heart markers and everything else? And just see if there's an underlying issue. The blastocystis is a very tough customer. Now, some people have it and it seems benign, but with other people, it's driving inflammation. And if you do a 3-week pathogen purge and you're coming back to something similar that you did years ago, you may have a species of blastocystis hominis that has already figured out that oregano goes great in the spaghetti sauce, and it's just not going to really be too worried, that it'll just back off and it'll go into a cyst. It has protection and it'll just wait you out. And so you may want to get that that comprehensive stool or your GI map and see what the blastocystis is doing. Because if it's still lurking and your other species, the entamoeba, it can be a tricky customer too, because it's an adapter. And so what you want to do is, if you have these guys, you want to get in and triangulate on it. You want to be looking at, let's say, a pure, bona fide, honest grapefruit seed extract with uva ursi, with berberine. And you want to surround this situation, maybe neem, and come at it. So we call this technique no place to run. And we got to master that to get you back to square one. I'm just speaking in the gut. And then we want to look at your ratio of caloric intake to exercise. Diet and exercise, huge to main thing. Because if you're eating more, just even talk calories and nutrition, we don't. True nutritionists don't really worry too much about calories, mm-hmm. Because the body can burn excess and balance itself when you sleep. But it is a standard in more of the dietetic type of industry. Everybody wants to talk about calories. So, but if you're taking, I mean, it's still the mathematics are there. If you're taking in more calories than you're exercising, your body, particularly if you have the Firmicutes, it's going into storage mode. Your insulin is up, you're storing everything as fat, and then you infiltrate with water, and all of a sudden you go, darn, it only took me 2 weeks to gain back everything I lost. So you need help from someone who can solve the riddle and find the cause. My heart goes out to you, because you're working hard, you're walking the walk, and there may be, like I said, the kaleidoscope pieces, things are helping, things are falling into place. You can see how malleable your system is, Judy. You can see that, oh, I can lose, but I gain.
Right.
And I can knock this off, but then this is coming back. And we've got to get this kaleidoscope to settle in with that beautiful picture of your metabolic health. And then, boy, did Nicole hit the other angle, is that you've got to look at, I like to see the genes, the entire genome, not a chip reader, but the real sequencing, because I want to know how well your liver can process estrogens, you know, like the CYP1A2 genes and so forth. We're looking at, are you sluggish with the detox mode? And then things will run slower and accumulate, and the hormones will have more proliferative time. And what's proliferating at first? The fat cell. You don't gain or lose fat cells, but they change their size. So if your body's always trying to get these larger fat cells, and then you lose and they come back large, we might need to be having a talk with the liver. So we see where GT5 is helpful, and it's dealt with some key fundamental things. You just may be a person that the gut is not everything, but before we start looking elsewhere, we need to master the gut. And I think with you, we want to see lab testing.
Yeah.
And get the facts. So, Judy, I actually talked longer than your paragraph here. So I hope you definitely got your ROI of all that.
Yeah,
typing in the bad gas is what, pointing to digestion.
Yep.
You're not digesting well. You're having fermentations, and that sounds like the Firmicutes. And the fact that it's unpleasant, there's an imbalance, and rather than just keep doing things in the dark, I think it's really your pathway is get some lab testing, let's get the facts, and then redesign. And I think you'll find that Gut Thrive has been you know, helping you at least 85-90%, but there's just one little element that they needs to be brought to bear to bring it all home for you.
Yeah, Judy, if, like Jack said, if you can run a comprehensive stool test or and also run a hormone panel on yourself, like a Dutch test or an Access Med Labs has a very cheap option that you can do. So we can take a look at everything that's going on for you. Because like Jack said, it's not one thing. So, and also too, with your, when you're coming off the 80-20, go really slow with your carb reintroduction. So don't just go from low carb to just all of a sudden eating a bunch of carbs. That's going to make you gain weight because your body won't recognize it as fuel and store it as fat. So just be deliberate in that and go in really slow increments with it. Just start adding a tablespoon of, say, a sweet potato or something like that, and just keep increasing over time so that your body can adapt to that. And that should help a little bit too with the weight gain.
When you're losing weight, likely the thing that you are craving is the thing that you've got to be careful bringing back and doing, maybe being a veteran of thousands of people fasting and cleansing. I've had people crave meatballs, and they don't make meatballs. They don't come from Italian families. They just, and many cultures make meatballs. But it's like, why? What is it? Is it the oregano? Is it the basil? But there's something, and what they'll do as soon as they finish or they decided they've had enough, the famine goes to feast. And we can see this in the indigenous pygmies in South Africa, the San and the Khoisan. They can be very small, but they're very, very skinny, and they get the feast. You know, they get the elephant. And now it's dance around the campfire and feast. And this is the rear end, like a camel's hump, will literally grow three times its size. And then, of course, the woman is going, that's too much, that's too much. And we store around the middle because that's balance, that we don't fall over. You know, we wouldn't want it to store in our neck or around your ankles and you trip. And nature has its way. But you may, anyone, any person of any culture can have certain genes that are more attuned to feast and famine. And so I will say for anyone in Gut Thrive, when they're having the beautiful weight loss, Krista's got it so good, but people, when they hear 80-20, they get the 80 and the 20 turned around.
Totally.
And that one license to have that little bit for some people is but Nicole, you're so wise to say you got to go easy because we're retraining. We don't want these species like the Firmicutes, which you need Firmicutes. They're part of your biome, but some people have way more than others, and but we don't want them to go, oh boy, and then they all have a night of debauchery, and the next day you've literally have 100 times or 1,000 times more Firmicutes because they had a food supply, then they just multiplied. As you introduce more slowly, other species take up niches as well. And so sometimes we just have to really kick ourselves that, you know, if you're craving the carbs or even the meatball, what we crave, nothing wrong with eating it when you stop the weight loss, but it's something that you really have to have the discipline. That's where the discipline comes, that it'd be one meatball or a smaller portion. That's the point of leverage. That's the critical piece. I don't know that that's talked about enough, and that's why I went on and on about it.
Great. All right. Rose broke out in hives after the second COVID vaccine dose. Jack prescribed, I think she means letum.
Well, that would be gelsimium.
Oh, gelsimium.
Yeah.
And then it worked wonders. Krista suggested doing clonics. Yeah, I mean, definitely, you know, Jack, I think you sell a combination of thuja, silica, and letum. You can take quercetin and zinc post-vaccine, and that can help a lot, particularly with hives. So maybe a product like Dehist or quercetin would be great for you, Rose. There's a really good formula from Energetics called Vaccord that I like to use post-vaccine, and that can be helpful as well. But yeah, colonics can be great. Again, whatever detox techniques that you have access to and work well for you, whether it's colonics, infrared sauna, the detox baths, all of those things are great to add in when you're going post-vaccine.
Okay. Brenda, you might touch base with, let me go. Brenda's coming in again. Oh, the doctor from Argentina. Yeah.
Do you have that doctor's name?
Francisco Izayaga. I'm gonna start you off, and if I misspell it, I'm gonna go grab his algorithm real quick, one of his books.
And, okay, while he's doing that, let's see. Rose says she was out of town, no colonics available in week two. Yeah, Rose, you can still do colonics. I mean, the idea with any of these, though, over time is that you should do them less frequently, right? Because we don't want you to become dependent on those things. And as you gain healing and you turn over the genetic code in your gut, your body should take over those functions. So ideally, you go from weekly to twice a month to three times a year to once a year. So it's fine to do in the short term, but don't continue to do it on a regular basis. We want your natural peristalsis to take over, but yeah, it's okay to keep doing. Let's see.
All right, I got that spelled.
Oh, you do? Okay, you wanna tell me what it is?
Oh, he was such a delight. He had a heavy accent, and I'm sitting in class and he keeps saying the remedy, Celicia, Celicia. And I'm thinking, oh, they know something I don't know. And I was embarrassed to raise my hand. I finally asked somebody, and it was the remedy silica. But he called it Celicia. And we all know silica and homeopathy. And it's like that. But such a treasure. And he... anyway, he did publish for us his medical expertise and over his lifetime. Mm-hmm. And for many people, it was like, oh, my goodness, there's a medical doctor who's curing incurable diseases in people. Or we want to say the medical doctor was facilitating the body to heal itself. And that gave people the first glimmer that we don't have to buy into this no known cause, no known cure nonsense.
Yeah.
And that the only way to treat something is to suppress the symptoms and never get to the cause. So bless all the people in natural health, the true pioneers of health. Just love it.
Okay. So let's see, Lori is back again, and she said, can you send me the name of those minerals? Yeah, Lori, we'll put them in the replay email tomorrow. I can put links for you there with the fulvic minerals and the trace minerals. She said she also gets a brown blotchy rash occasionally. She thinks it's fungal. Any thoughts? Yeah, if it's fungal, you can do a couple of things. Topically, you could use some calendula, but you might also, like we were talking about with one of the other questions, to add in some additional fungal support. So maybe if you take some extra oregano oil, you can also try that Candace at Forte that we linked to. That should give you some additional fungal support. Jack, would you add anything else in?
I think you got a good one there. Oftentimes we don't like these things coming up into the skin, but they do have a tendency to go away when we keep building our core health. And so we often look at the skin as unfortunately one of the first areas to react and one of the last to correct, because the body is much more interested in protecting the liver and the heart and the brain and the gynecologist and the gizzards and all of the internal organs. And the skin is the tip of the iceberg, and it'll come around. But what's so beautiful about, I think, Krista's program is that it often comes around within the 10 weeks. Somebody may get a little itchy in week three, but by week six, it's gone. And then we find out 2 years later, it never bothered to come back. So But everybody's going to walk their road. But I do like it. I call it the sandwich technique, Nicole, is you're working internally, but then something comes up. We don't want to suppress the skin, exactly. Which would be like a topical steroid, and we just shut right. the immune system down. We want to work through it and yes. out the other side into health. But we don't want, I have to caveat this because somebody could say, well, my joints are red and swollen. I have rheumatoid arthritis and now I have so much pain, but I'm going to go through it. And the problem there is they end up getting tissue damage because the reaction is so violent and strong. So we do have to have a caveat of common sense, but little nuisances. I like the sandwich. You're working it with the burger. You're working it with the bun from within, but we're going to do something topically to be soothing and supporting the salt and soda bath or a calendula cream, something pure and topical. I mentioned in earlier that you could put a little olive oil or mm-hmm. a little coconut or people that aren't allergic to nuts might go to shea butter or yeah. just some wholesome organic product that we can help out and lend assistance to the body. And that sandwich is the condition that we're helping the skin, we're helping the gut, and the body's in a vitality, then works it through. And now the person's healthy and happy and has resistance to it happening again. It's just the fundamental laws of natural healing are at work.
Mm-hmm. All right. Lori wants to know how to get an appointment with Jack. So Jack's website is wellnesswiz.com, I believe, and you can book appointments through there. We also have a link to his website in the portal. If you click on the additional help, the one-on-one consults, you can book with Jack that way. And Jack offers a discounted rate to our gut thrivers. So definitely reach out if you're interested in that. And then let's see.
You know, I love helping. And so if, I believe very much in the role of the practitioner, but the role of the we call them patients as well, and the teaming up to get it done. I just included my phone number. I'm always honored to help someone. So.
Great, thank you.
Thank you, glad to do that.
Judy said she did Dutch in 2018. She's postmenopausal. Yeah, Judy, I would run your labs again just because it's been 3 years since you did them and a lot of shifts could have taken place and we need to see where you're at right now versus where you were 3 years ago. So I would definitely recommend that.
Tamara. Keep in mind, Judy, your Dutch test is going to give thyroid markers, yeah. adrenal, big time adrenal.
Big adrenal markers, yep.
Your liver, your methylation.
Yep.
Let's see how your that brought up where we were talking for you in the liver and the ability to break down the estrogens. And if you're having proliferation of the 4-OH estrogen, sometimes I know it's hard with these lab tests being right under $400, mm-hmm. but comprehensive stool and a Dutch test would give you the portrait that you and or a practitioner could find the missing link for you and get that kaleidoscope in your case to settle in. Mm-hmm. The only other thing, if we're really going crazy for you, Judy, would be the full genome gene test to look at the genes and possibly an IgG food allergy test. You know, I know you're thinking, oh, there goes my life savings to testing, but I'll tell you what, I probably just quoted like $1,100 worth of testing,
sure.
but the rest of your life, free and healthy, you just have to come around to biting that bullet, but that would be powerfully, life-changing and for the rest of your life. So I think you're just at a point with the moving pieces where you don't want to play whack-a-mole. Oh, here's a symptom, I'm going to bat it. And here's a symptom, I'm going to bat it. Oh, now the hormones, now this, now my weight. And these things are popping up out of a common core disturbance. And knowing that for you is going to be liberating. Mm-hmm. So that's the task for you.
All right, Tamara, I guess I wasn't ready for the 10 plus week schedule and strict diet. I got some good results at first, but had such cravings and didn't maintain the diet past week 8. I'm doing the HCL challenge and I'm up to 4 capsules, thinking of redoing the program in a few months. Yeah, it's like what we talked about earlier, Tamara. You know, don't beat yourself up about it. You can take the program at a slower pace. And if you weren't ready the first time around, you can do it again down the road, and you can even do a modified version of it. So it's not the full-on program. And if you write in a ticket to info@thewholejourney.com, we can help you figure out what the best way to do that would be. But yeah, again, don't beat yourself up about it. It's hard work, and sometimes we're not quite ready to do it. So Jack, what would you say to that?
I'm saying you're spot on, Nicole.
Okay.
And besides, I was typing a little bit.
Yeah, no worries.
I just saw where we were wondering, where's the ileocecal valve? And then we were looking at the concept that cooking a vegetable would rid it of pesticides. So mm-hmm. I just had to start typing.
No worries. Okay, Jackie had a GI map in 2018. Should I retake it? Yeah, if any of you have done lab work that's more than a few months old, more than 6 months old, you definitely should redo it again if you're able to do that. So a GI map from 2018 really isn't helpful in the present because it's been 3 years. You're also doing some work through this program. So you really need to see where you're at post GT5 and see what pathogens you may have going on. So yeah, I would definitely say redo it. Let's see. Jack, Vicky. Oh, Vicky posted it. Thanks, Vicky, for posting that link. Da, da, da. Okay. Da, da, da. Oh, Jack, you put your phone number. That's great. Thank you. Jelena, do you
want... Operators are standing by. Actually, they're not.
Yeah. Do you always have to eat organic to keep your gut health in check? Because eating all organic is very expensive. And if you're cooking the food, don't you just kill the pesticides and other toxins anyway through the cooking process? So yeah, Jelena,
I nailed the pesticide issue. Maybe something comes out in the water, but no, they're in the molecule of the plant. Now, a lot are on the skin, and you can read the Dirty Dozen list.
That's what I was just going to say.
Apples and cherries and things where they just slather them, peaches, the spinach and kale. They just slather them in the pesticides. But those things, some will wash off if they're clinging on the outside. But it's really about the penetration, and it's really about this whole concept. Furthermore, those pesticides are destroying the earth microbiome. The glyphosate is killing the microbes in the soil that artichoke or whatever needs on the roots, little beads on the roots. This is where it's converting the minerals in the soil. We need the earth's microbiota to mediate the earth and the soil into the plant so that you get to enjoy the minerals and the vitamins and the molecular structures. The glyphosate, which is called Roundup from Bayer Monsanto, that's now flooded with lawsuits about causing lymphatic cancer. They're genetically modifying the food so they can use more of this pesticide. It's huge. It's turning up in babies. It's turning up in breast milk. Not a pleasant situation that the U.S. government has allowed the corporation to dictate the health, but it's the health of our soil. So when you don't buy organic, you're not getting your array of nutrient in the vegetable. Now, this has been covered in science, and then that science has been laid aside. I know Mercola.com published quite a bit on this, and then the research starts to disappear. But the organic food does make a difference. it is more economical. And I'm going to whisper to you the secret to getting really cheap organic food. Let's grow a garden. Get your little veggie bin, your lettuce bin and kale, and you can grow tomatoes on a balcony. And if you have a patch of ground in the backyard, you can get some organic soil. And for a couple hundred dollars set up, you can literally take the seeds. Yesterday, I propagated my lettuce. Now, lettuce is a nuisance, a little tiny blossom, and it has about 17 little seeds that tend to flutter and float. But putting them in the little trays, and in 3 or 4 weeks, I'm going to have a whole thing of free lettuce because I'm using my own soil. And but anyway, I know you're going to say you work, you've got 16 kids, and you, there's just no time or interest to do that. But I just talk about basic survival. I don't know if you've heard that there's some food shortages. There's some drought in Arizona and California. I think the simple, non-alarmist word to the wise is, why not get a little grow light kit for $99 and have the joy of growing your own oregano and basil and lettuce? And maybe you'd be surprised what a couple of tomatoes could do for your spaghetti sauce. And there's just such a joy I hope to impart to you about connecting with what you can grow and render for yourself, because you're not going to be using the glyphosate. And Dow Chemical now is trying to bring Agent Orange back. And I don't know, in my natural health career, I've dealt with devastating consequences of 2,4-5-D, DDT, these horrendous health damaging pesticides, and they're trying to bring them back now. Saying, oh, we can use it judiciously when the small organic farm is the thing that will save us and save our environment. So anyway, we just got to look at the research that is not commonplace. So anyway, I hope you haven't felt picked on by my lecture, but you know, you might write a letter to John Mackey of Whole Foods, who really helped establish that organic food should be more expensive and be a yuppie food.
Oh, paycheck.
And he's my neighbor over the garden fence here, and I picked on him, and he been anyway. But Whole Foods established the high pricing as de rigueur for American society. But you have the ability for freedom at your fingertips, and you don't have to pay that high price all the time. You can get your staples.
And Jelena, I'll post a link to the Environmental Working Group's Dirty Dozen and Clean 15 list. So if you aren't able to buy fully organic, at least focus on those foods that have the highest pesticide count and buy those organic and start from there.
We'll call that making you a transitional organic devotee. And because I think, you know, you can figure, I think avocados are on the green light list, even though they spray them, that tough skin on the avocado will repel, and they don't really want the pesticides penetrating. They want it to be on the skin to keep the bugs from ruining the avocado. So most people, let me just mention, Nicole, I can't believe I just forgot the lady's name. She was a professor at UCLA, multiple PhD lady, and she gave us the Clorox soap.
I've done that for years, and I didn't want to mention it because I didn't know if people would think it's nuts, but I've done that for years.
Yeah, no, it's bona fide. The Clorox, now we're talking the old Clorox, which used to be made in stainless steel tanks. It's not the lemon scented. It's not, you got to be careful with the plastic bottle, because once you open Clorox, it's an oxidizing agent. It's going to leach all that plastic out of the bottle. Get the small bottle and put it in a glass container. And what do you do? About 2 tablespoons?
It's about 2. Yep. And then I put it in I soak in a bin. I put all my vegetables and fruits in there and I let it soak for a few minutes, then I rinse it out, and I'm telling you, your food lasts so long and it stays so fresh. It's really wonderful.
No, this is a chain restaurant technique.
It is. They use it all the time. Yep, that's
why it's little square boxes that line up on the road, they're all Cloroxing. They're vegetables, and you do rinse it off.
You do. So you have to rinse it off. So
you soak it. Put it in the sink or another bucket, and you soak it out. Rinse it off. It'll keep longer in your refrigerator.
Way longer. Yep.
Chelates a major amount of pesticides.
Yes.
And it's not good for like little pathogens and E. coli that might be on the lettuce that we've seen in the last few years. You know, and they were picking on the restaurant Chipotle and so forth because they're more natural. But they find these strains of E. coli and you're cleaning it, you're debugging it. And so for on a budget, do your Dirty Dozen organic, do your Green Light, but soak them and just start staying ahead, because we don't know. One person has very strong genes to initiate pesticide and glyphosate detox, and other people are very weak because pesticides have only been part of humanity, let's say, for since the Industrial Revolution, for the last 100, 150 years, have we been experimenting on humankind with poisons in our food. And so it's a surprise to some people's genetics. There's always been something in the food, or a volcano erupts with hydrogen sulfide, and, you know, mercury and arsenic live in the soil. So we have built-in mechanisms, but some people have more than others. And it actually comes back to the health of the gut and the gut microbes that also have direct interrelationship with our genes. So as science advances, you can advance with your wonderful healthy gut and cleaning up the diet however you can afford it. But I love pulling in the vegetable from the garden that I didn't have to pay so much money for out there in the marketplace. So.
All right. Tamara, which side is the ileocecal valve on? Left or right? It's on the right. Let's see. Oh, you just answered that, Jack. Sorry. Information. Growing sprouts. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Brenda suggests growing your own sprouts on a rotating schedule to save on organics. Yeah, that's a wonderful tip. Wonderful.
Superfood. Superfood. Yeah.
Okay.
And you'll love sunflower sprouts, but you need a little soil. Trays of soil, but the sunflower sprouts are not legumes, and they're so tasty.
Yeah,
you become a big fan.
All right, I think we've hit everybody, Jack. We're over our hour, and I think we can wrap it up here.
What fun we've had! It's been so much fun.
It's been really wonderful. Thank you all for taking time out of your day to join us. And if you have any questions, just write into info@thewholejourney.com. Otherwise, we'll see you in September. Have a great summer, everyone. Bye, Jack.
Bye-bye.